Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown, helping you get your finances in order and get you the credit you deserve. The Credit Connection, here on KSMA, 1240 AM, 99.5 FM, and 1240KSMA.com. Now, from High Tech Lending, David Brown.
Welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown, with High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. At The Credit Connection, we want to connect you to the credit you want and deserve for your home, business, and personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, credit cards, mortgages. You name it, if it has to do with credit or money, we discuss all aspects. Think of our show as a financial literacy class with different topics each week, and we promote financial wellness. We really enjoy your feedback and questions that relate to credit. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website, reloans.com. Hit the Contact Us tab and leave us your question or comment. You can also call in your questions at 805-686-2321. Today's program, we will share some actual lending and credit scenarios that we have been asked. And we've also asked our good friend, Bob Craig, back to the studio to talk about the changes with the new tax laws that were put into effect when Trump signed the act in December of 2017. So we're still trying to figure out all what that is, and Bob's going to help us navigate that today. Here are some current credit scenarios affecting the credit markets and consumers today. Wanted to let you know that Zillow, the internet property search company, has acquired a mortgage company called Mortgage Lenders of America this week. So soon you can search for your property and find the mortgage financing all in one-stop shop. Zillow has over 1 million property searches per month, and this is being the first in line with the consumer, similar to being at the checkout counter and seeing the magazines and candy that you always purchase before you check out. So they're going to be in the mortgage business, and I think they're going to be in the real estate business pretty soon, actually selling homes. Be on the lookout for that. They're going to try and be the Amazon of real estate. Also, sales of existing single-family homes for the markets covered by the Standard & Poor's CoreLogic Case-Shiller indices peaked last November, and we have declined for 3 months in a row now. There have been 35 states that have declined in value in home market home prices. Part of the reason is a good and widespread economy in all the states and payment fatigue in higher price states. What I mean by payment fatigue is going to San Francisco and buying a home, and the average home there is $1 million. It's going to cost you a whole lot of money each and every month for that mortgage. Whereas if you go to Mississippi, you're going to be able to buy the nicest home in the area for $200,000, and the pay is almost as good, but your payments for housing and other living expenses is much, much less. So we can expect that housing to move from a seller's market to more equilibrium or a stable market, which is a good place and occurrence for home value. Did you know that some down payment sources for your house are unacceptable? Unacceptable down payment sources include sweat equity, cash, unsecured borrowed funds like credit card advances, and unseasoned funds from new deposits, even from like a yard sale. These are all unacceptable sources of a down payment. So what are your options? Well, you can collateralize your debt with an asset. For example, I did a loan one time. The person didn't have enough down payment and wanted to take money out of the store, basically. Their father was willing to lend them some money, but it would be a personal loan. Well, what we did, we provided collateral, and we did a UCC-1 statement, which is a collateral instrument for inventory and personal assets. And that's how we were able to show that as a loan and made that cash available. So while you can't borrow against your credit card because it's unsecured, you can borrow against other assets that you do secure as part of your down payment. You might even use a title for a car or a boat if you wanted to get additional cash. They'll dock you for those payments, but at least you'll have the down payment source confirmed. Don't count on the big lenders like LendingTree or Quicken to show you these options. Contact a mortgage broker you know, like, and trust for difficult scenarios like High Tech Lending. For credit resources, if you want to have a mortgage calculator or current information on your phone, then go to our website, reloans.com, and download our mobile app that is a great resource for mortgage payment calculations or current interest rate trends and so much more. So go there and download our app if you'd like to have that. It's available at no cost. Okay, show me the money or the credit, as the case goes for our show. Let's go to the heart of today's program. Our special guest, Bob Craig, EA and tax accountant. Bob's joined us before a couple weeks ago, but we didn't get to finish everything. So let's go back to Bob. And those that weren't here, Bob, give us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks for having me back, Dave. I appreciate it. I've been in the tax business since 1983 and worked for a firm for 10 years and bought it out and been on my own ever since. So taxes has basically been my life for, what is that, 35 years? I don't know.
Long time.
Bad with numbers. You know.
Yeah, so, right.
But love it. Love help, you know, being able to help people. And there's always something interesting going on.
Yeah. Let's get to it. There were so many things that we didn't cover last time. Bob, can you tell us about the major tax change that happened late last year and what that means to our listeners?
Back in December of 2017, there's a act, the Tax Cuts and Job Act, and it changed, you know, everything. And there's a lot of good things in it, starting with reduced tax rates overall. From the tax bracket rates are reduced for anywhere from 2 to 4% across, I think, 6 of the 7 brackets. So that's going to help, you know, pretty much everybody, that one thing in itself. There's no more dependent exemptions. So the old, you know, can I deduct my uncle because he lives with me and I take care of him? Or can I deduct my child as because he's going to school? The definition is still there, but there's no more deduction exemption for it. If you've paid attention on your taxes, it was anywhere, you know, upwards of $4,000 of an exemption for every dependent, including ourselves. So a married couple with 2 children could potentially have 4 exemptions, 4 times 4, almost, you know, $16,000+ of a tax deduction. So it would reduce the amount you pay tax on. Those are gone. But the definition is still there, so we'd still need to keep track of dependents because there are other provisions in the tax law, like child tax credits and earned income credit and dependent care and filing status that having a dependent will affect. So it's still there, but those deductions are gone. Now, in lieu of that, there's the doubling of the old standard deduction, which used to be around $6,500 single and around $9,000 for head of household and $12,700 or so for a married couple. Now the for individuals, it's $12,000. Head of household is $18,000. And married couples, they're $24,000. So we have a lot bigger deduction, even though we're losing the exemptions. In addition to that, there's new limits on Schedule A itemized deductions, you know, where you take medical and your property taxes and state income taxes and DMVs and mortgage interest, charitable contributions, and your employee business expenses, tax return prep fees, investment expenses. That whole section is the section for the investment expenses and the employee business expenses is gone. So if you had that deductions from that in the past years, you no longer will have those. A medical is still there. There's a 7.5% of your gross income phase out. That's very common. It's been in there for years. So we have 7.5%. It was 10. Now it's back to 7% limitation. So that's a good thing. You've probably heard on the news, the SALT, which is state and local taxes, which includes property taxes on your home or second home or third home or land or whatever it might be, DMV registrations, and your state income taxes that you paid in. That's still there, except the limitation is $10,000, which might sound like a lot to some people, but in high income states, income tax states, and high real estate value states, California being one of them, that $10,000 could be a severe impediment on the tax forms themselves. The mortgage interest deduction is still here, except now the mortgage limitation is $750,000 instead of $1 million. If you bought a house and you had $1 million loan on it, you can only deduct 75% of the interest that you pay. And so that's going to be a limitation for those higher value houses.
Right.
We used to be able to deduct up to $100,000 of the home equity loan, so you could use the money for anything. And people did, to pay off credit cards, buy vehicles, travel around the world, take vacations, whatever with it. Now that deduction is gone, and it's not even grandfathered in. So basically, if you were deducting HELOC interest, that's just going to go away. Child tax credit is a big one. That's where you get a $2,000 tax credit, which is a dollar-for-dollar offset in taxes. And a lot of people got phased out of that before. It used to be $1,000 per child under 17 years old. Phase-outs used to be around $110,000 for married. Now that phase-out doesn't kick into $400,000, $200,000 for single people. So that's going to be huge for if you got a lot of children under 17 years old. There's been changes to alimony, and if you are in a divorce situation right now, you need to be aware of what that is. That kicks in after 2018 for alimony. It's not deductible anymore, and it's not income to the recipient. Lawyers are going to be busy this fall sorting all that out with their agreements.
Tax-free income to the recipient of alimony.
Correct.
Okay, and yeah. Non-deductible to the one paying it.
Right. Usually it's the higher tax bracket person, the higher income person that's paying the alimony. So that deduction is going to change the way they're going to have to push and pull to make these divorce deals. It's going to cost the payer of alimony a lot more by not being able to deduct it.
Now, is that retroactive on existing?
Good question. It's actually not retroactive at all. Even if you weren't divorced at that point. Yeah, but you had an alimony agreement in place under a separation agreement that's
right.
A legally enforceable document. As long as that's in place by the end of 2018, it doesn't change materially going into 2019. Basically keep the same contract or it's not rewritten, you can still deduct it. It's grandfathered in.
Okay.
And any alimony that's being paid now that you've been paying is going to be still deductible in full.
Okay,
and,
so this
but
is
its income on the
these
other
are
side.
New divorces then starting this year. So
new
it doesn't
divorces or
doesn't affect your payments
on an existing
divorce
deal.
Okay.
So another thing is the penalty for the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, where if you don't have insurance, you get penalized on your tax return. That's gone, but not till 2019.
Who stands to benefit from these tax changes?
Well, I think most people will benefit when they pass this back in December. I went through my entire tax client list, and most people are going to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some, I've tested some that didn't. There's so many different deals. The rates go down, but no dependency exemptions. The doubles of the standard deduction might be a good thing. It might not be a good thing, depending on what your standard deduction or your itemized deductions were.
I guess what I'm asking is there a class or a different a type of individual that's going to benefit more than another? And if there is there also a class or a type individual, whether it be self-employed or, and maybe you can't do it in a blanket scenario, but who might get hurt from this as well?
Well, you can't do it in a blanket scenario. You know, somebody with that's taken the standard deduction over the years and has 8 kids under the age of 17, they're going to be in really good shape. But, you know, everybody's got to kind of test their own waters on this because of all the different moving parts. If they do have a business, there's things that are changing that might be beneficial, but it might go the other way.
Okay.
Somebody with $24,000 roughly of itemized deductions probably going to get hurt because they're going to get that same $24,000 in the standard deduction, but no dependent exemptions.
Right.
But the lower rates might mitigate that.
From a real estate perspective, if I had a $900,000 mortgage before this was signed, I can still deduct the $900,000 of interest, or am I limited going forward to the $750,000?
That's grandfathered in before that date, and I believe the date is December 14th and December 17th.
Okay.
I don't recall exactly what the date is, but if you had a loan in place before that date,
right,
it could still be $1 million.
Okay.
And that's on your principal residence and a second home.
Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Bob Craig.
Mom, are you okay?
Honey, I'm fine. Just a broken glass.
Really? Are you okay?
I haven't been sleeping well since Dad, I wake up at night worried if I can make ends meet.
Mom, why don't we look into a reverse mortgage? Then you won't have to make any more house payments and you can live comfortably.
Should I just call the guys on TV?
No, who knows where they're from? My neighbor recommended David Brown of American Senior. He'll come to the house and answer all our questions. Mom, call David at American Senior, okay? Here, I Googled the number, 686-2321.
686-2321.
All homeowners over 62, don't worry about your finances. Call 686-2321. 686-2321. Get a reverse mortgage with David Brown of American Senior. David Brown of American Senior, a division of High Tech Lending, licensed by the Department of Oversight under California Law, Mortgage and Lending Act, NMLS 7147, CA3413-0937.
Welcome back to the second part of our show, The Credit Connection. If you're just now joining us, we're discussing the new tax codes with Bob Craig. Bob, I've heard that since the standard deduction has been increased, I may not have to itemize my deductions anymore. So does this mean I don't need to save receipts or records?
No, that's not what that means. There's a whole group of things you can hear about over the, or read about on the internet or hear that is the case, but you still have to test your scenario to see if you're going to have $27,000 of itemized deductions once you look at your medical, which could change every year dramatically. And your charitable contributions and your mortgage interest and property taxes. You have to look at it to see what it's going to be. So without saving receipts and keeping track of all that, you won't be able to do that. Also, the states and California has not conformed to any of this. Whatever is changing on the federal side may not change on the state side and probably won't if it's going to save California taxes. California is not all that thrilled about doing that. And California starts with federal income and then makes adjustments for differences in the law. So you might take a standard deduction on your federal tax return, but then when you get to California, you're going to take itemized deductions. So you still have to have all those receipts. It's not any benefit on the federal side because your itemized deductions are $23,000 and you're just going to take the $24,000 standard. California, the standard deduction is quite a bit less. So you may be able to itemize on your California return. So save the receipts and test it. There's a strategy also that might, that'll require the saving of those records. And keep in mind that most of the provisions of the Tax Act at this point are not permanent. They're scheduled to sunset, which means at 12/31/2025, the next day we revert back to the 2017 tax law rules.
Okay.
Where everything goes back to the way it was. Now, we're hoping that there's going to be some sort of a change to make permanence on this so people have long-term financial plans and can put them in place. But this temporary thing throws people into whack. And, to get out of the habit of saving receipts is not a really good idea. And I don't suggest it anyways.
Well, you'd need it also if you were audited. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to have all that ammunition with you just in case you need it.
In talking to you earlier, you mentioned that there may be some strategies that will help people take full advantage of the new laws. Can you share some of those with us?
One of the big ones to think about, depending on where your itemized deduction totals are, is to bunch controllable expenses into certain tax years. Succinctly, it would be, I'm going to take the standard deduction in 1 year and itemize the next year, saying that, okay, I'm going to have medical or I have elective medical that I could take. Well, I'm not going to do it in the year I'm taking the standard deduction. I'll wait till have my dental work done into the next year when I can also have, some other medical deduction or medical procedures done and try to control them and move them all into 1 year. So you'll have a higher medical deduction every other year, say, and you can use your charitable contributions. If I give an average of $2,000 a year, 1 year I'll take the standard deduction and give zero, and the next year I'll give $4,000. I might have right around $24,000 of itemized deductions on a normal year. But if I pull back on some of my stuff, like the medical and the charities and property taxes, even mortgage interest, you can do that, prepay the January payment and stack it up in 1 year so you have $30,000 of itemized deductions and you'll get a benefit of that in that year.
Okay.
The next year, you take the 24. If your itemized deductions are right around 24, your mortgage interest, property taxes, charities aren't saving you a penny.
Yeah, so you're just straddling the year, basically, in one fashion to do it, anticipate a standard deduction one year and an itemized deduction is the following.
Yeah, it takes a little work and planning.
Yeah.
And thinking, but, you know, in the year you're going to take the itemized deductions, you prepay your April 1st property tax payment by December 31st.
Right.
You pay your January mortgage payment, so you get the interest in that year. You make all of your charities in that year and pay all the medical you can in that year if you're close to having a deduction for it.
Okay. Are there changes for people with their own businesses?
Quite a few. And they can get quite complex. One of the biggest ones for people with small businesses and which includes S corporations, LLCs, partnerships, Schedule C, is the 20% pass-through deduction. And it can get really complex. But if your income, your taxable income as a single person is $157,500 or less, or as a married person, married people, $315,000 or less, you get a 20% deduction. So in effect, you just get a write-off. It reduces your taxable income by 20% of your net income for that business.
Okay.
Once it starts to go over those figures, the phase-outs start, and for certain businesses like doctors, lawyers, accountants, tax people, professional athletes, performing artists, and certain specified businesses, at some point they're not going to get any deduction for it. Others that aren't in those groups will get a deduction, but it's based on the wages that the business pays and possibly the value of the property that it owns. And there's just computations to get into that, which I cannot get into here. Also for business, there's liberalized depreciation elections and quicker write-offs potential. And so there's a lot of things in there, quite complex as well. One thing to note is there's no more entertainment. You can't take a client out to the ball game and have dinner and write it off as a client entertainment expense. It's just out the window. At the beginning, when this first came out, it sounded like all client meals were going to be axed, but it doesn't appear that's the case now. I'd say client meals where you take out your tax man and buy him dinner and wine and dine him and talk business, of course. Yeah. You can write off that. It's only 50% deductible in all cases, but that's still there. So I'm happy about that because there was a lot of questions on that one.
Right. Instead of going to Subway, we can go to a real steak dinner. Huh?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. What should people do now in order to prepare their filings for 2018 taxes or the next filing season?
Well, the first thing is to kind of either through your own research or with your tax professional is to understand how the new law affects your particular situation. You know, see, because everyone's different, and so your numbers and your income level and your amount of different types of deductions and whether you have a business, whether you get income that's other than wage or business income, like interest or dividends, or if you have a sell property or stocks and have capital gains, you have to know what this is all going to mean to you.
Right.
And then, you know, determine back to the bunching of expenses. So if you have a big year, you can plan on taking advantage of that strategy. If you have high employee business expenses as a W-2 employee, where we used to be able to write off expenses there in excess of 2% of your income, and you got some benefit out of that, those are gone completely. You get absolutely no deduction for them. So if you're a salesperson and you know, put a lot of mileage on and have entertainment, meals,
right?
And can usually write those off, you won't be able to do that anymore. So that's time to go to your employer and see if they can put you on an accountable plan to where you submit an expense report to your employer and the employer reimburses you dollar for dollar on that.
Okay.
So the employer gets a deduction for it, whereas you wouldn't on your personal return. That might have to have some salary negotiation in there somewhere, but it's something to look at. So also the withholdings for payroll, W-2 payroll, your paychecks, pension withholdings, we're lowered around February in anticipation of people paying less tax, saying because you're going to pay less tax, we won't withhold as much. So you might have noticed your paycheck going up after the January or some, you know, right around the January, February payrolls. So you may end up shorting yourself if you have income from other sources or you have estimated tax payments that you pay because you're depending on, I paid $4,000 in off my W-2 last year, so I'm going to make it up with estimates. Well, this year it may not make it up because you won't be, you may only have $3,000 withheld from your paycheck because of the payroll and pension withholdings being adjusted downward. So that's all that's going to be kind of problematic and something that people should look at now as opposed to later.
There's
still, you know, 4 or 5 months to take to correct the problem instead of getting hit and then being penalized at the end of the year.
All right. Well, how can our listeners reach you?
Okay. Well, my phone number is area code 805-264-3305. My website is www.solvangtax.com. And my email is rcraig1044@aol.com. That's rcraig1044@aol.com. And feel free to shoot me an email if you have a question on any of this or anything. Want me to help you guide you through something or just ask a question, feel free to do that.
Okay. Bob, thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Once again, we're sadly out of time. Hope you found today's presentation informational and valuable. If so, please share with your friends and family. For questions or comments, go to our website, reloans.com, and click the Contact Us tab, or call us at 805-686-2321. Leave your comments, questions, and we'll get to them on our next show. I'm your host, David Brown, with High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. Thank you for tuning in to The Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. This is David Brown wishing you profit and credit worthiness. See you next week for another Credit Connection topic.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321. That's 805-686-2321. Or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com. dbrown@hightechlending.com. And visit David online at reloans.com. That's reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSMA.